Our former Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has invited the Church to observe a year of faith, a year that coincides with the beginning of the Second Vatican Council 50 years ago. In observance of the year of faith here in this parish, we've been looking at some of the documents of the Second Vatican Council. And today I would like to spend one homily on the shortest document of the Council, its declaration on the relation of the Church to non-Christian religions, called by the first two words of the text in Latin, Nostra Aetate, meaning in our time. When I first thought about doing this series of Vatican II homilies, I hadn't intended to look at this document in particular, because it's the shortest of the documents. It does not seem among the most significant. But what changed my mind was a reference to Nostra Aetate that Pope Benedict made shortly before he retired in writing about a much more important document, Gaudium et Spes, the pastoral constitution on the Church in the modern world. Those of you who heard the homilies on Gaudium et Spes last spring might remember that the main critique that Pope Benedict made of that document was that it does not preserve the historical balance between optimism and pessimism in Catholic theology, between positive and negative evaluations of the world, both of which are found in the Gospels. So what does Pope Benedict say about Nostra Aetate? Essentially, he says that this document reflects the same problem as Gaudium et Spes, an excessive optimism. Specifically, Pope Benedict says that in evaluating the world religions, that's what this document is about, the relation of the Church to non-Christian religions, that in evaluating world religions, Nostra Aetate sees only what is positive and, quote, disregards the sick and distorted forms of religion, end quote, which have had a negative consequence in the modern world. Pope Benedict says that in the course of the last 50 years, that omission has become more and more obvious, that what is done in the name of religion is not always good. Pope Benedict refers to this omission in another place in this recent thing he's written as, quote, a weakness in this otherwise extraordinary text. Those words clearly indicate that Pope Benedict sees much that is of value in Nostra Aetate. So we should look first at what we can learn from the document. In the first place, the great point of Nostra Aetate is the commonality of our human religious experience. It reminds us that the variety of religions found in the world should not let us forget how much all the members of the human race have in common. The human race has a great unity as to its origin in God, as to our goal in happiness with God, and in the blessings that we all receive from God, his providential care that is seen over the whole earth. The document goes on to say that all humanity is also united in confronting the great questions of life. It spells out those questions. What is man? What is the meaning and the aim of our life? What is moral good and what is sin? Where does suffering come from and what purpose does it serve? Which is the road to true happiness? What are death, judgment, and retribution after death? Consistent with a very venerable Catholic tradition, Nostra Aetate observes that people throughout the world, confronted by these same questions that are common to us all, have come to some authentic understanding that God exists and some idea of what he is like, his qualities. This is a very traditional point in Catholic theology, the recognition that the human person is born with an appetite for God, and that we can know that he exists and something about his attributes through looking at his works, through looking at what he has done in creation. Again, very consistent with our Catholic tradition, Nostra Aetate wants to affirm everything that is good in the various non-Christian religions of the world, while affirming our belief that Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's self-revelation and the one who has reconciled us to the Father. What Nostra Aetate says on all those issues, our common human condition, our common questions, the fundamental insights about God that we share with others, that's entirely true and quite traditional. But we might note a couple of things that Nostra Aetate leaves unsaid. Nowhere in Nostra Aetate do we find the customary statement that we as Christians see the elements of truth found in non-Christian religions as a preparation for the gospel, a preparation for faith in Jesus Christ. That little phrase, preparation for the gospel, conveys that even as we respect the authentic insights and real virtues that non-Christians often possess, we are not content to leave them as they are. We always have in mind the missionary work of the church. We want to bring people to a full knowledge of the true God, the Holy Trinity, and to the holiness that's only available through union with Jesus Christ. That little phrase, preparation for the gospel, is found in the documents of Vatican II. It's in Lumen Gentium, and it's in the decree on the missionary activity of the church. But it's not in Nostra Aetate. Second point. While Nostra Aetate clearly asserts that the fullness of the truth about God is available in Jesus Christ, it doesn't offer any explanation of why we say that. Is that just because this is our religion, and other people, I suppose, would say the same about theirs? Certainly, Nostra Aetate would not have been the place to go into a lengthy argument for the truth of the Christian faith. But it doesn't have to be a lengthy argument. I was struck by how effectively and succinctly Pope John Paul II was able to make a crucial distinction between Christianity and the other world religions in a Wednesday audience talk he gave back in 1985. In that audience, Pope John Paul was giving a little synopsis of this same document, Nostra Aetate, but he added this very useful distinction. This is Pope John Paul. But the various non-Christian religions are, above all, the expression of a search on the part of man, while the Christian faith is based on a revelation on God's part. And in this consists Christianity's essential difference from other religions, whatever elements they might have in common. The world religions begin with a sense of God and a search to know him better that is common to all people. But Christianity and Judaism too are different because they begin with the initiative of God who acts to make himself known specifically. The Christian faith is not a human project. It is not the result of man's search for God. It is a response to God's revelation of himself in the person of his Son. I think that a distinction like that one that Pope John Paul made would have greatly strengthened the text of Nostra Aetate. So that about the attitude of Nostra Aetate toward the world religions in general. We might also look at some more specific comments made by Nostra Aetate about some of the world's great religions. It mentions four non-Christian religions, specifically Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Judaism. They're arranged in that order in increasing closeness to Christianity. So the Hindus believe in many gods, so that's rather far from Christianity. The Buddhists believe in only one divine principle, but that God is not quite personal. The Muslims believe in a personal God. And closest of all to Christianity is Judaism, which grows from a real covenant that the true God entered with his chosen people. In Nostra Aetate, only positive things are said about these four great world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity. The reason for that is evident if you know something about the history of the document. Nostra Aetate was originally intended to be a document just about Judaism and was thought to important to have such a document as a response to the Holocaust, which was at that point only 20 years in the past. Bishops from majority Muslim countries later made the point that if we're going to talk about Judaism, we should talk about Islam too, and that's how Nostra Aetate got to have a larger scope. But that history makes it very understandable that the document's tone is so entirely positive. The first intention of the document was not to speak about theological differences, but to stress our common humanity and to plead for peaceful and fraternal coexistence among all people living on the face of the earth. That intention of Nostra Aetate was undoubtedly a very noble one. But it is also a good and necessary thing for Christians to recognize and be able to explain the limitations of other world religions. That kind of critique was entirely absent in Nostra Aetate, but it has been supplied by subsequent teaching of the popes. I think, for instance, of Buddhism and a book that was published back in the 90s called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. I don't know if you remember that. It was a long interview that Pope John Paul II gave to a reporter that was published as a book with questions leading each section and then John Paul's response to those questions. There was one question about Buddha. And Pope John Paul observed that while Buddhism and Christianity both aim at salvation, the meaning of that word is very different in the two religions. In trying to free himself and others from suffering, the Buddha came to the conviction that the world is bad and that the world isn't really quite real. To liberate oneself from suffering, one had to free oneself from the world and make a break in the mind with all that joins us to external reality, ties existing in our human nature, in our psyche, and in our bodies. The more we are liberated from those ties, the more we become indifferent to the world, and then we don't suffer anymore. This is the enlightenment that is presented as nirvana, a state of perfect indifference with regard to the world. To save oneself for a Buddhist means, above all, to free oneself from evil by becoming indifferent to the world. In the Christian view of salvation, the attitude is entirely different. The reality of the world is not denied. Rather, we look forward to the final victory of Christ when the whole of creation is made new and allowed to enjoy the perfection it was meant to have from the beginning. In the meantime, we do not deny the reality of suffering. We are called to help others bear their suffering in imitation of Christ who came to bear ours. As Pope John Paul pointed out in Crossing the Threshold of Hope, the Buddhist view of salvation is far different than the Christian one. And many practices of Buddhism, including yoga, are incompatible with the Christian faith. No such critique is found in Nostra Aetate. I think also of Islam, obviously. Nostra Aetate offers no critique of Islam, only says positive things. By contrast, the most famous recent papal statement about Islam came from Pope Benedict's speech at the University of Regensburg in 2006. You might remember that speech was quite critical. The point at issue in Pope Benedict's speech at Regensburg was the relationship between God and reason. In Islam, there is an overriding preoccupation to protect the absolute authority and sovereignty of God. Muslims would say that if God is going to be all-powerful, He must be absolutely able to do anything he chooses, even if it's irrational. To say otherwise, according to the Muslims, would mean that reason is greater than God. He has to obey it. Of course, what the Muslim approach means in practice is that God might sometimes command people to do what is irrational, what is cruel, what is criminal, if it serves to accomplish his will. The Christian says, no. To act contrary to reason is not an expression of power, but evidence of weakness. God has revealed himself as the one who is always aligned with what is true and reasonable, not because he is subservient to reason, but because there is no falsehood in him. Again, Pope Benedict's recent critique of Nostra Aetate is essentially this. The document, quote, speaks of religion solely in a positive way, and it disregards the sick and distorted forms of religion, which, from the historical and theological viewpoints, are of far-reaching importance, end quote. Since September 11th, 2001, we Americans have been very mindful of the fact that bad theology has consequences. Of course, Christians can also commit horrible sins and crimes. But we do that because we're not living up to the principles of the faith, not because the faith demands us to do such things. Nostra Aetate is not naive about the existence of malice and evil in the world. Consistent with its original purpose to condemn the Holocaust, the document concludes with a ringing denunciation of discrimination based on race, color, condition of life, or religion. In the course of that final passage, we read, "We cannot truly call on God, the Father of all, if we refuse to treat in a brotherly way any man, created as he is in the image of God. Man's relation to God the Father and his relation to men, his brothers, are so linked that Scripture says, he who does not love does not know God." The point Pope Benedict wants to make is just that the mistaken theology, limited theology of non-Christian religions can sometimes result in people committing crimes against their brothers and sisters in the very name of those religions. Hence, our duty as Christians is not just to coexist with others peacefully, although that is certainly a wonderful thing to do, and to avoid all oppression of those who believe differently than we do, but we have the further duty to understand and live the true faith as fully as we possibly can, and to proclaim it to the world as a gift and a treasure.